Welcome to GVC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Let's get started.
Hey, GVEC team. This is Kai Sloan here. Welcome to another bonus episode of GVEC Unplugged. David, Robbie, Trey, and I had a lot of fun recording our fishing conversation, but not everything we talked about could fit into the main episode. We talked about some of our favorite fish recipes, our most memorable catch, and why we love fishing. We felt like it was worth sharing, so we hope you enjoy. So another question for the group. I know everybody has their favorite fish to eat. So y'all want to talk about what's your favorite fish to eat, and even beyond that, what's your favorite recipe?
I would say probably three fish that I would focus on from a river standpoint. It would probably be catfish, channel cat, or blues, as long as you cut all the fat off of them and things like that. And that's always going to be like a fry. You go to the coast, saltwater-wise, I would think there's a toss-up with me between speckled trout and flounder. On those two are being really good. And then we start talking about Colorado. Look at those small trout. Take our smoker up there. We load the smoker up the back of the truck. And I take pecan chips, and we'll start putting vegetables and stuff together, aluminum foil and butter, and put that on there. And then what we'll end up doing is probably about 45 minutes on the smoker at most, but we'll have several of those trout. We'll season them up inside and out, put lemon on top of them, and just put them on the smoke for about that 45 minutes. Every fish is a little bit different, but you know, like the freshwater wise, I'm thinking that the trout may be my favorite, the freshwater trout. I'll smoke only, but never really, I've fried them before, but I still like the when they're smoked right.
You cook them with skin on?
Yeah, in Colorado, cook them with skin on, and when it gets down to like sea trout and stuff like that, that's all just fillets.
Yeah, I like cooking the rainbow trout too, and you know, the freshwater trout, like you're saying. The flavor is great. The only thing for me that turns me off a little bit is there's so many tiny bones.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost, you almost can't see them, and they're like little toothpicks in there. It's kind of hard to work around those.
You have to stop and kind of focus in, use that fork, and just kind of work your way through it. Small bones are not fun. Yeah, but it just takes time. It's just light, flaky fish with, if you put the butter and the lemon and season it up, little Zatarans or something like that on it, it's pretty good.
Robbie, what's your favorite fish to eat?
I like trout. We fry a lot of it, and I like it blackened. There's a place in Port O'Connor, Sharky's. You take your catch in there, and they'll make some great blackened trout. It's really good. Vegetable tray with it.
Sounds good.
That's usually what we do with a lot of it. What I don't bring home, and we'll have a big fry. And another net, red snapper. You got to get an offshore trip to go get them. Red snapper is really great.
It's probably one of the better ones, I think. I left that off there, but that's super white, super flaky. That's
not very fishy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, red snapper is one of those ones. I'll just pick one up from HEB. I like fishing for them. I've been on a couple offshore trips, but I get so dang seasick that I'll let somebody else catch them.
You should have been with me about 3 weeks ago. Everybody was sick, me and the captain and the deckhand. The rest of them were
nothing
done.
Worse.
Well, you can't – once you get seasick, you're done. I mean, you can't get unsick. And, you know, the rest of the day, you're going to be miserable.
And you can't go anywhere. You're stuck on that boat.
Trey, what fish do you like to eat, and what recipe do you use?
Oh, man. I'm the only fish eater in my family, so I get to just kind of have my say in how I want to do it when I do it. I have different kinds for whatever I want to do. Sheephead makes some great, great fish tacos, grilled fish tacos. But flounder, I think flounder and shark are probably my favorite for just all around. You can have make stuffed flounder or grilled shark steaks. For that, it's usually pretty simple. A lot of lemon, a little bit of, I believe, olive oil. I'm trying to remember my recipe right offhand. You don't want to put too much soy sauce in it. Too much of that will kill the flavor in it.
On the shark?
Yes, on the shark, I'm sorry. But when it comes to like trout, I'll eat trout, redfish, many others, catfish. When you go to freshwater, I'll eat only catfish. I don't do any perch or bass. I don't eat anything else. But usually on those, if I'm frying it up, I'll usually mix in with the cornmeal either some some of that Slap Your Mama seasoning, or there's a... It's supposed to be for barbecue, but it actually works out really well for anything else. But Big Mo Kaysen makes some chicken rub or chicken seasoning. It's really good. It's kind of a good all-around seasoning. It's nice to mix in that cornmeal. So,
I've heard that the shark It really is like a steak kind of texture.
It really is. It has about the same texture, and you can grill it just the same on a grill or what's this new one, Blackstones or whatever, that's kind of a griddle.
Is it a quick grill? I mean, basically you don't want to dry it out, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it grills pretty quickly.
Like a tuna?
Yes, exactly.
You just want to sear it real fast on each side?
Pretty much. Definitely doesn't take as much when you're doing a redfish on half shell. I've made the mistake of not cooking one of those long enough, and that kind of killed the idea of me wanting to eat redfish anymore unless it's fried. So
my next question is, when you look back on all the years you've been fishing, is there one fish or one story that kind of stands out as being one that's more memorable than the rest?
I'm trying to remember one special fish that I caught, but usually I remember more that the people were with me. And we didn't do it this last year because they called it off. It's called Warriors Weekend in Port O'Connor. We take wounded warriors fishing. This was been my 11th year to take the guys fishing. And about 2 years ago, I guess I had a couple from South Carolina. Their names are Jennifer and Cicero. But she never caught a fish bigger than a perch in her life. And we started fishing, and she caught a pretty good sized flounder. Well, she was already livid at that point. I said, now we're going to go catch some redfish. And so we started working the intercoastal, throwing that dead mullet on the bank. And we were headed back towards Port O'Connor because I wanted to get them off the boat early. And we caught three redfish pretty quick. And each one, they were all about 27 inches. I mean, some beautiful fish. And she was screaming and hollering at her husband. It was a scene. Yeah, I mean, it was funny. She said, you never even seen a fish this big, and I got three of them. I mean, she was
dogging him, huh?
Yeah. And she won the women's class tournament for Warriors for awesome. Trout and string of red. So
awesome.
She called me that night. I was at one of my favorite places to hang out in Port O'Connor. And she called me about 10 o'clock. She was wound up. Oh, Captain Robbie, we won. What did we win?
That's really cool. I'm sure she'll never forget that memory. To go out your first time red saltwater fishing the Texas coast and to win the tournament.
Yeah.
That's a cool program. I guess can you talk a little bit more about your involvement with that Wounded Warriors program, and is it a fundraiser?
They do fundraisers throughout the year to try to get enough money to fly people in from pretty much all over the United States. They're busing, flying, they get them in. It's been as big as almost 1,000 people we took out, and it probably usually around 500-600, and usually 400-500 boats line up. Then everybody's, you know, volunteers. You got to furnish your drinks and food and everything for them and take them fishing. Get off the dock probably about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I usually try to get them back by 1:30, 2 o'clock. We're supposed to be in by 3. But you can only imagine the traffic with 400 boats trying to go back to one spot to get.
Oh, yeah.
Take all those people back.
Well, Port O'Connor's not a huge area. No. I mean, you know, it's a fairly small bay system.
Very small. And where they want them all to come back to Froggies. That way they can film everything going on. It's a madhouse. It's been a really good thing. We had a lot of fun doing it.
And when you start talking about Froggies, don't you have a lot of audience there? Because when you have big events like that, don't they get up there with their cards and they start grading people in reference to how they back in?
I've seen that happen before. They have cards and they rate how good you can back a trailer in and how good you can get your boat on the trailer.
It's like an entertainment type of situation for everybody in this an embarrassment moment.
Just watching for somebody to make a mistake.
They're looking for that weakness. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kaylee, if you're listening, just tune out now. My wife tries to help with the boat and stuff. Like, she'll try to back it down, and it's horrible. I mean, you know, Port O'Connor, that ramp is not that bad. It's pretty flat. But she'll sit there and jackknife the trailer. I mean, it'll take her 50 tries to get that trailer down in the water. And every time I'm like, let me do it. It's fine. Just hold the boat. And no, I got it this time.
It could be worse.
What's that?
Your wife in the truck and trailer backing and driving. I had my boat the second week. My wife and I took it out. I said, you hold the boat, I'll go get the truck and trailer. She goes, I'll go get the truck and trailer. You just back it in the last part of the way. I'm sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, here she comes walking. I'm like, what? And she, I could tell she was upset, you know. She said, go up there. I started walking. When she made that corner coming out of that parking area and Froggies, went around that corner. And she had somebody else's boat on my trailer, literally. She stuffed my trailer underneath somebody else's.
Oh, my gosh.
Tore the fenders off, flat tire. I mean, it was bad. She doesn't drive the boat and the truck and the trailer anymore. And she doesn't never drives the boat. No more trying.
Oh. That's why you have insurance.
Yeah, that's what I told the guy. I said, well, I'm sorry about this. He goes, I feel sorry for your trailer. Yeah. It was a mess.
I had a boat for a while, and we had taken it there to Port O'Connor, and we were there at the fishing center. And my wife can't really back a boat too well at all. And so I was the one who backed it down, got it off, roped it off there on the docks, or had her hang on to it. Then I had to go park the trailer, then come back and move out of the way. And of course, you know, those docks get pretty busy. You got people waiting, and she never could get it down for the backing in. Or so at the end of the day, having to come back, tie it off, go up, get the truck, back it down, get in the boat and pull it up on the trailer and everything else. She never was really good at that, but she is good at outfishing me. I don't know how, but I can normally catch more than she does, but God dog it, if she doesn't always seem to catch the bigger, or, you know, a species that I've never caught. She's definitely got me beat on some of those. I don't know how she does it.
Takes a big man to admit that.
Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but hey.
Hey, when you're sinking bait, that fish doesn't know if it's you or your wife on the other end of the rod.
Thank you.
That's just luck.
Exactly. Just luck.
I have one story that comes to mind that's by far my favorite fish. So we had, this is 3 years ago probably now, a little more than three years ago, my bachelor party. And this was just a couple of us went up to Colorado. We're fishing public water. And I hired this guide who, by the way, is the best trout fishing guide that I've ever met. His name's Matt McCannell. This trip is specific. So it's public water, but you're going after huge fish. And he says, like, you know, if you talk to him, he'll say, look, the chances are we won't get any fish in the net today. But if we do, it's going to be huge. And this is a special trip that he runs. And he says he encourages only what he calls expert anglers to do it, just because it's not a numbers game. It's you're measuring in pounds, not inches, you know? So I only hired him for one day, and actually me and my best man split the time. So really I was only fishing with him for half a day. And there's guys that go fishing with him for a week and sometimes even longer and won't catch one of these monster trout. So the way that it works is it's kind of sight fishing, really. It's just a river up there in Colorado, public river in Colorado. And he encourages you to just like get up high. So we went up on a cliff edge and watched down below and waited. I mean, we sat there for 2 hours before I ever made a cast. And we're watching for, he knows there's big fish in that area, but you're trying to see, are they there? And if they move, you know, where they're moving and are they feeding and how they're feeding. And he wants you to study the whole thing, right, before you ever go down there and make a cast. And this is fly fishing. So we went up there and the sun broke for just a second to where we could see that, oh yeah, one of those big fish is down in this spot. So we watched him for a while. And then he said, all right, I want you to go down to the water and you're going to need to get on your knees and crawl out to this point, to this rock that goes out there. And it's kind of hard to explain, but this fish was about 13 feet deep in kind of a curved part of the river. And he told me before I cast it, he said, you're going to get about 3 casts. These trout, when they get this big, are smart. So you get about 3 casts, and beyond that, they're not going to move for it. So make it count. This guide is like intense. I mean, he'll yell at you, but he's good, but he'll yell at you. And he told me, you're going to have to cast it, and then you have to make a mend, which is like give the line some slack so that it floats right. So the first cast wasn't great. Second cast wasn't great. Third cast, I'm watching, you know, my indicator come down the river And right when it was over where I knew the fish was, I can't see the fish from down there. He could see him from up on the cliff, but I couldn't see it. My indicator just dives down. And I heard him yell from up on the cliff, "That's him, that's him." He said, "Get up." He said, "You better move." He said, "You better run." This fish, I kid you not, takes me like 75 yards into my backing on my fly line. And I'm using a 7-weight, which is a pretty big rod. It's a pretty heavy rod. He takes me across the river, back across the other way. Several times we had him where he was right at the net, and then he would take off again. He went up a set of rapids. I mean, this thing was a monster. And the whole time I'm thinking, everything's going to have to go right for me to get it in the net, because, I mean, there's so many obstructions, trees in the water they can dive you under. And it just so happened that it's a miracle, really. We did finally get him to the net. And David, I think you've seen the picture.
I've seen the picture.
Huge,
yeah.
But it was a 30-inch long, 17-inch girth brown trout. It's 18 pounds. Just an absolute monster.
He looked like he was about 35 pounds from that photo of what you had in.
He's huge.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And I just got really lucky. I follow that guy on Instagram still, and he catches a lot of big fish. And I'm biased maybe, but I haven't seen anything that his clients have pulled out that big since that time. So I feel like for fishing a half day and I caught that thing.
So not just did you catch probably the biggest fish of your life, you had some key people there, a lot of good memories and just the area. Nobody will understand how clear that water unless they fish. Like we start talking about the coast. We start talking about Guadalupe River and things like that. And there's just something that's absolutely gorgeous about a mountain stream, or for somebody to look up on top of a ridge and down and see 13 feet down to see that fish like that. Nobody, you don't get a good feel of it until you actually see something like that or be there yourself. Oh man, yeah, you'll never forget that moment.
Well, and he said, and I remember seeing that fish, and I said, "You mean that dark?" He said, "Look right there." I said, "You mean that dark spot in the water?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's a rock. That's not a fish." And then I saw it move a little bit, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, I mean, it's kind of like if you're a deer hunter and you get buck fever. I had buck fever with this one. I was panicking. And it was a state park, so there was a lot of people there. And so by the time I fought this thing for 45 minutes before I got in the net, a trout. And by the time I got him in the net, there was like a crowd. I mean, I say a crowd, there was probably like 5 or 10 people, but I felt like there was a crowd.
Nope.
And I've been trying to convince my wife that I'm going to have a replica made to put in the house. And she's like, everything that I think is cool, she's like, you can put it in the office. So my office just has all my junk in there.
So why don't we just wrap up by talking about why you like fishing?
I'll go fish with people. I just love to fish. I love to be out. I mean,
yeah,
it's
the outdoors.
It's you know, I don't want to sound whatever on this, but you know, all of our jobs that we do, you have certain stresses. Even your personal life, you have certain stresses. You know, it's one of the best ways to decompress and just be out there, be in nature. You know, y'all were talking about how peaceful it is in here, how relaxed it is. It really is like that. Yeah. It really is like that out there. And, you know, you got the air, the water, and it's just, we're very relaxing.
I get that from Colorado a lot. That's my decompression. Yeah. You're just, I mean, you can have mule deer on the hillside, and we'd sit out there and fish on to a reservoir, and you see a bald eagle flying over the ridge going back, and just lose your stress totally. You know, you don't have that cell phone service and things like that. So big part of it is that getaway, getting a little bit of isolation a little bit sometimes, and not have to deal with, you know, all the different people around you. It's a good getaway.
It's kind of interesting for me. I consider myself a pretty extreme extrovert. For the most part, I like being around people. In fact, like the whole COVID situation has been hard for me because I feel cooped up and I want to see my people and I want to get out. But fishing is like the one thing where I want to be alone. I mean, and I think what's so relaxing about it to me is that when you're fishing, you have to focus on only what's right in front of you. You know, you're focusing on what's my lure doing? You know, what's the wind doing? How's the boat running? Whatever it is, I'm going to tie this knot. It forces you to just focus only on one thing at a time. And so I almost prefer to be alone when I fish. It's like the one thing in my life that it's nice just to be out there by yourself.
You're in control. You're in control of the thoughts and what you're focusing on. You're not worried about the work and the 10,000 things that are going through your mind, and you're just totally in control of it for this.
Depending on where you're fishing, it's nice just to be able to, you know, you kind of get lost in the moment. You know, I've fished little grassland areas before, and just seeing that breeze just hitting the grass just right, it's real relaxing. Or if you're fishing at a beach, just hearing the ocean, the waves rolling over, I mean, you kind of just get caught up in the moment of it, and it just adds to, you know, just the peacefulness of it all.
We hope you like this bonus episode of the GBEC Unplugged podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts to be notified when new episodes are being released. Be sure to email us at hr@gbec.org if you have any episode ideas or would like to join us as a guest. As always, look out for each other, GBEC team, and stay safe until next time.